Good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here today. I'm in Genesis chapter 7, and I'm going to read all of chapter 7 and all of chapter 8 this morning. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you seven pairs of clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of animals that are not clean, the male and his mate. Seven pairs of the birds of heaven, also male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all the Lord had commanded him. Skip to verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day Noah and his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark, they and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went into the ark as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the earth, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits high, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, and all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animal, and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the water prevailed on the earth 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock and that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the water subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the earth receded from, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated, and in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. And he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds, and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wife with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the proclamation of His Word. We'll all go through very difficult times in life. Jesus said to us, in the world you will have tribulation. You will have troubles. He said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Dave Dravecki was at the height of his baseball career when cancer struck him in 1988. He had the cancer treated and part of his pitching arm muscle removed, and he made a remarkable recovery and came back just a year later to pitch again for the San Francisco Giants. But his recovery was short-lived. After just 5 days after he pitched a win for the Giants in 1989, it was said that as he was pitching, the whole stadium could hear as he threw the crack in his arm, the bone crack in his arm. He discovered the cancer had returned, and so he retired from baseball, and not long after that, from his shoulder down, his arm was amputated. He wrote a book called When You Can't Come Back, and he talked about his Christian faith and how God had brought him through the struggles of life. But he also told the meeting, a believer in a third world country. And the believer in the third world countries was talking to him about the different way Americans handle difficulties, Christians in America handle difficulties, and Christians in other parts of the world handle difficulties. The man basically said to Dave, he said, in America, Christians in America, when they have troubles or difficulties, they often ask God to remove the difficulties, the burdens from their backs. Christians in other parts of the world, when they face difficulties, they ask God to give them stronger backs. We're all going to face tough stuff. And there are times when we pray and we ask God to change the situation, change the circumstances, and He will. But there are also times that He will not change the circumstances, that He will leave us in those circumstances and teach us the things that we need to know in order to love Him and follow Him and bring glory to His name. God was bringing a righteous judgment, and He was going to destroy all living things that roamed on the face of the ground because of the corruption and the violence and the evil He found in mankind. But there was a man named Noah whom His grace was upon. And God would save Noah and his families, and God would save the animals that would come to the ark and be in the ark during that flood. Noah and his families would be left to repopulate the earth and be the family through whom the Savior would be born later. In Genesis 7 and 8, we see God's judgment on those who reject Him, but we also see His unceasing concern for those who will trust Him. From this passage of Scripture, I think we can see this eternal truth. In the midst of life's most violent storms, God always cares for and blesses those who trust Him. In the midst of life's most violent storms, God always blesses and cares for those who trust Him. Now in chapter 6, God told Noah, He said, build an ark, because His judgment was coming on the earth. And we know that Noah spent 120 years building that ark and getting it ready for the coming judgment of God. And God, in His patience, even though He knew the rest of mankind would not repent, He still gave them 120 years. But now the time for the flood had come. Now the time for the flood had come. And so I want us to look and notice some things that we can learn as Noah and his family face the flood. First of all, God brings us through the floods of life. The Lord said to Noah in chapter 7, go into the ark, you and your household. He said, you alone are righteous in His sight. Why was Noah righteous? Because he was perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. He's no more perfect than you or I. But he trusted in God. He had faith in God. He tried to live the way he should. We find at the end of chapter 8, Moses is offering sacrifices because he understood that our sin demands death. And those sacrifices pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus who would come later. Noah wasn't perfect, but he was righteous in God's sight because he'd been made righteous. He was counted righteous through the future sacrifice of the Savior. And so Noah was righteous before God, and God said, you and your family, the flood's coming, 7 days, get in the ark. So Noah took 7 pairs of clean animals, the scripture says, and 1 pair of unclean animals, and he and all his family entered the ark. As an old man, he and his family and wife with the animals entered the ark. I want you to notice how this is dated. It says in Noah's 600th year, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, the flood came. You see, the flood came at a certain point in history. It came at a certain point in history. Notice the sources of the flood. One was the source of water that came from the interior of the earth, the fountains of the great deep of the earth, the great aquifers of the earth. You know, there's even today there are great aquifers in all the earth. If you go to the Great Plains, a lot of the agriculture takes place because of the underwater aquifer, because they don't receive much rain. And so there's the source of the interior of the earth. And somehow the scripture says that the fountains of the great deep burst forth. And I think, what was it talking about? Well, you know, it doesn't take that much imagination or that much understanding to understand what's happened here. You remember the 2004 earthquake that affected 14 countries and killed over 230,000 people in Thailand and Indonesia. It was a massive earthquake. The tidal wave hit the lands. It caused tremendous destruction, tremendous destruction. And in 2011, in March, the earthquake hit Japan, and it caused a tsunami that killed almost 16,000 people. It affected the nuclear reactors in Japan. And so in just these two events, there were almost 250,000 people were killed because of the effects of these kind of earthquakes. Now magnify that by about 1,000 times to see what kind of damage the earth does. You know, man thinks he has the power to destroy, and yes, he does have the power sometimes to destroy, but you know, it's nothing compared to the power of God. It's nothing compared to the power of God. I heard today there was an earthquake in Alaska, one of the biggest earthquakes that had taken place in many, many years. I think it was like 7.1 on the Richter scale or something like that. But the one source of the flood was the waters from the earth, the great deep, the upheaval. Many believe the continents and everything were realigned during this time. And then the scripture says it rained heavy, continuous rain upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And all the land was destroyed. I remember a few years ago as I was working in southeast Iowa, and the flood came to Winona. And Rushford, not Iowa, Minnesota. Got to remember where I'm living at the right times, but anyway. And you saw the destruction of that flood. They called it a 500-year flood. But you could see the destruction that it brought and how it just made an upheaval in the land. And so the scripture says the waters from the deep, the waters, the rain, the torrential rains from heaven for 40 days and 40 nights, and the waters rose even after the rain stopped, the waters continued to rise and covered the earth. When the rain stops, that doesn't mean the flooding stops, right? You ever been in a floodplain? You know, the rain might stop, but the rivers are cresting, right? So the water destroyed, the flood destroyed all life on the earth. But Noah and his family, the one who trusted in God and did what God said, they were safe on the ark. Now notice something here. God didn't not send the flood. You know, Noah may have prayed. I don't know how he prayed. Lord, don't do this. I hope, you know. Sometimes we pray. But there are some things that are going to happen, and there are judgments that are going to come that we cannot hold back. You see, God was more than patient. A lot of people think God's not losing his temper. He's giving man more time. He knows he won't repent even if he gives him 120 years. And he still gives him 120. He's more than patient, but his holiness demands him to deal with corruption and violence and evil. You know, oftentimes people ask, if there's a good God, why is there so much evil in the world? Now, that's a good question. And one of my answers to them is, there won't be someday. God's going to get rid of the evil in the world. God's going to get rid of, but you know, the truth is, we want God to get rid of other people's evil, not my evil, right? God is going to deal with evil. He will ultimately judge all evil and destroy all evil. He will not allow it forever. Noah trusted in God, and he looked to God. He was righteous in the sight of God, but his prayer could not stop the judgment of God from happening. There was no changing the fact that a flood was going to come on the earth. You know, a lot of times we want to say, God, change the circumstance. Change this cancer that I'm dealing with, or change what's happening in my family. And we pray and it's not changed. Because there are times God's not going to live you from the trouble, but in and through it. You're going to have to go through it. You know, Jesus had to go through the cross or we couldn't have been saved. God saved Noah and his family through the ark. He gave him the ark. The storm came, but in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the violence of nature, in the middle of God's judgment, God kept Noah and his family safe. Now, the flood is one of the great pictures of the Old Testament, how much God hates sin, the lengths he will go through to judge sin. His judgment on sin has come. It will come. The flood shows his holiness and his disdain for sin and about how horrible its consequences are. It's the greatest picture in the Old Testament of God's judgment on sin. Now, in the New Testament, we also see a judgment of God on sin, which is a great picture. It's Christ on the cross, bearing our wrath, taking the punishment that we deserve for our sin. He took it himself. If you want to see how much God hates sin, you look at the cross and we think how much God loves us, but you also have to understand it's a picture of God's wrath being poured out on his own son because of our sin. And we see how much God hates sin in the picture of the cross. Sin has to be dealt with. God is a just God, and God must punish sin. And the New Testament, we see God's judgment of sin at the cross. We see the wrath of his son placed on himself. In the Old Testament, well, we see the ark, how Noah was saved. And that pictures the cross too. Because see, when we're in Jesus, we are safe. You know, I heard a story many years ago about some young men who were fighting a forest fire. And they were sent in to do what you do to fight forest fires, cut down trees and build hedges and all the kind of things. But the announcement came, you guys are surrounded by fire. And a bunch of young guys, they didn't know what to do. But their supervisor knew what to do. He said, look, here's some trees. The wind's blowing this way, you know, blowing. And so here's a part that's not burnt off. He says, start this part on fire. They were surrounded by fire, but he said, start this part on fire. And so they started part of it on fire. It burned out a certain section. And when the fire began to enclose and come in around them, what did they do? They stepped in the part that had been burned off. Now that's a picture of what's happened for every man in Christ. You see, if you face God's judgment against sin on your own, you will be destroyed. But there's a place where God's wrath was fully satisfied, and it was the cross of Jesus. And if you are in Him, and the one whom God's wrath was fully satisfied in, if you will be in Christ and believe in Christ and trust in Christ, then your sin's already been paid for. See, the only safe place against God's judgment for us is Christ Jesus. And so we see God providing the ark, God providing for us a cross. God, Noah had to go through the flood, but God provided him a safe place to go through it. God brought Noah through the flood. Notice something else here. God remembers us in and after the floods of life. I love what it says in verse 1 of chapter 8. God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. Now, it doesn't mean somehow God was so busy judging the world that he after it was kind of over, he hit it and said, "Oh, Noah's out there somewhere." That's not what it's talking about. When it talks about God remembering Noah, it means he's always been in his heart and his mind. And he remembered Noah, and he's going to do something about it. God's not going to leave Noah floating on the ark forever. He is going to reestablish his world through Noah and his family. He was going to act in Noah's behalf. God remembered Noah. He's going to do what he needs to do to dry up the land and get Noah and his family and the animals off the ark. The scripture says he stopped the rain and he closed the fountains of the deep. He set a wind to dry up the earth and he caused the water to subside. He brought the ark to a resting place in the mountains of Ararat in the seventh month. In the tenth month, the tops of the mountains could be seen. All this didn't happen overnight, but the waters were slowly subsiding over a period of a few months. God remembered Noah. You see, when you're going through the really tough times and the rains and the torrents are really coming down, God remembers you if you are one of His. Well, in the 11th month, Noah sent out a raven. He sent out a raven from the ark, and the raven evidently didn't come back. A raven's a scavenger, and so he could scavenge on the corpses of dead animals and things. And so he didn't come back. Well, then Noah sent out a dove. After 7 days... Well, he sent out a dove, and the dove flew around, but the dove didn't find any place to nest or rest. And so the dove came back, and the scripture says Noah put his hand out and brought the dove back into the ark. Well, 7 days later, he's checking, okay, what's the status of the water? He sends out the dove again, and this time the dove flies around all day, but when he comes back, it has an olive leaf in its mouth. And it shows to Noah that the earth was being restored. Vegetation was growing once again. After 7 more days, he sent the dove out again, and the dove didn't return because it found a place to nest and to rest. The scripture says, then on the first day of Noah's 600th year and first year, he removed the covering from the ark, and he saw something. Look, it says, I love the way it says this. Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. He could see dry ground, not just the tops of the mountains, but he could see dry ground. By the second month of Noah's 601st year, the 27th day, the earth had dried out. And then God told Noah for him and all his family and all the animals to go out of the ark and multiply and fill the earth. It's a kind of a recreation story here. You see, God remembered Noah. He was with him all the way, as he is with all who trust in him, all whose faith is in him. Noah didn't face it alone. The storm ultimately passes. The waters will ultimately subside. It won't happen overnight, maybe. In fact, it took months for the waters to subside and the earth to recover enough for men to live on it again. But it was subsiding. You see, there are times you have to go through difficulties in life. And it might seem like God is doing nothing about your difficult situation. The storm may get worse before it gets better. God at those times has not forgotten you if you are His. If you have trusted in Him, He remembers you and He will work on your behalf. The storms might have to come to climax. There might even have to be months or even years of recovery. But He will bring you through. You see, Paul said, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. You see, God knows where you are and He will bring you through. Do you realize that? Whatever you're going through, it could be the most horrific thing that ever happened, but God will bring you through. God will bring you through. Notice Noah's reaction to all this, and this should be our reaction. God's people sacrifice and worship God who brings us through the floods of life. When Noah got out, the first thing that it records him doing was he built an altar to the Lord, and he offered burnt offerings of all the clean animals. You see, Noah knew it was God's grace that he was saved from the destruction of the flood. And somehow, when he thought of all that God had done for him and how He protected him and his family and the animals that were on the ark, his reaction was a reaction of gratitude and gratefulness and worship. And so he sacrificed. He sacrificed the clean animals, the scripture says. He offered those burnt offerings. You offer a burnt offering because it's completely consumed. It reminds you of what happens, what needs to happen for our sins to be forgiven. It reminds you that when you give yourself to God, you give everything. You know, when Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, the picture is of the burnt offering. And the burnt offering is completely consumed at the altar, on the sacrifice. When you offer yourself to God as a living sacrifice, you say, God, here I am, all of me, I totally, completely, and irrevocably belong to You. And so Noah worshiped God. And the scripture says, God smelled the pleasing aroma, and He accepted the sacrifices of Noah. The sacrifice that reminded him of the Son that he would send to save men from their sin. Now notice something else here. Man's character had not changed, really. In verse 21, I think, it says, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. His character had not changed. But God said, I'm not going to destroy the world in a flood like I have done here. Even though man's character has not changed, there would come a judgment, the judgment of Christ on the cross, that could do away with our sin and our guilt. And there will come a judgment of those who will not accept Christ. And you'll have to stand before God. And your works of righteousness won't be enough. But God said, until the end of the earth, I'm not going to bring another catastrophic judgment on man. In spite of the faithlessness of man, God said, I'll be faithful. I'll let the sun rise and set, let the seasons come and go. Until the earth passes, these things are going to be. And God responded to Noah's worship. And you know, He responds to your worship and to my worship. When you come to Him in humility through the merit of Jesus Christ, He hears and responds to you. Even though our worship's imperfect, He responds to us. When he says, you can boldly approach the throne of grace to find mercy and help in your time of need through Jesus Christ, our High Priest. God responds to our prayers. He responds to our worship. When He realized all of God, all He's done for us, how He's loved us and cared for and protected us and seen us through the most difficult time, the only response that we can get to Him is love and adoration and worship and submission of our lives to Him. And really, that's what it's all about. You see, God cares for those who trust in Him. He cares. He loves you. He'll help you through whatever you have to go through. When my dad was a very young boy, his mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. And he lived in Cache, Oklahoma. Well, this was in the 20s. My dad was born in 22. Well, they sent my grandmother to the best places that they could in those days. In fact, they sent her to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, I later learned. But basically, there was not anything they could do for her in those days. And because of the effects of the cancer, when he was 6 years old, she came down with pneumonia and she died. His dad never remarried. When I was 7 years old, my grandfather was in a serious accident. He set himself on fire, and he lived for a couple weeks in tremendous pain before he died. My dad, I remember him, even though I was little, I remembered he would drive back and forth to Oklahoma City from Lawton, which was a 100-mile drive every day, just to be with his dad. And his dad had been around his whole life, and everything to him is very hard on my dad when his dad died, especially in the way he died. But he lived a couple weeks and he died, and one of my earliest memories is of his funeral. At the funeral, they sang the song, "God Will Take Care of You." Now, I later learned that my dad wanted that song sung at his dad's funeral because it was the only thing that he remembered from his mom's funeral when he was six. And as I think about that song and what it meant to my dad, it truly was a testimony of his life. It was true of Noah. It was true of my dad. And I can say it's been true of me. And I believe it's true of everybody who trusts in the Lord. It says, "Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you." God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Let's pray together. You know, if you don't know Him and don't know how much He loves you, He does love you. And I pray that you will let Him, you will lean on Him, you will trust in Him, you will give your life to Him if you never have this morning. And if you're here today and you're a Christian and you know the Lord, but life is really tough right now. You're going through some very difficult things. And maybe you haven't even shared that with anyone. Never forget that He remembers you and He will take care of you. Lord, we love You. And we thank You, Lord, that You love us. You love us so much. And You provided our salvation through Your Son. His judgment, our judgment, He took upon Himself. And Father, we know Your Word says that we can cast all our anxiety upon You because You care for us. When we go through difficult times, Lord, and we're tempted to worry and to fret and sometimes even accuse You, Help us to know that you remember us and you will care for us. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.